It's been a long time since I've read. Thank you very much for having me, John and Chris, and everybody. I feel very grateful to be here. And I think I'm going to sit backwards and trust my walker here. Let's move this way. Okay. Hello, everybody. So, thanks for having me. That was a lovely reading. Okay. Jen, where are you? There you are. I really enjoy the reading. Talking to the mic. Sweetie. Like, here I am. Okay, so... one thing I learned is if you're going to be hit with a pandemic and get all virtuous and start writing poetry, it's not a good time to publish books and expect people to know about them unless you do like your husband does and just go at it on Facebook. And I didn't do that. I got sick instead. So I didn't have all that energy to go on Facebook and advertise. And I did write two books, and they came out just at the start of COVID. And that was an interesting experience. And so I'm going to read first from the first one that came out, which is a full book, Imbibe the Air. And the second one is Shards of Shadows, a COVID diary. I really started writing it like the first... It was the first week of COVID, and I gave up after a year and a half or so, and but I still got some good poems out. So just a little note about Charlie and me. Most of you guys know, but for many years, we had a cottage up in northern Michigan on a lake, and many of both of our poems relate back to how much we enjoyed being up in Michigan. And this first poem and the name of the book, Imbibe the Air, and the picture in the book is related to how lovely it was up on that lake, Walloon Lake in North. It's really southern Michigan, but the northern part of southern Michigan. Imbibe the Air. Sometimes I want to tilt my head aside under the kitchen faucet and take a long, drenching sip of water, cool water to quench a thirst of thoughts, a longing of desire, as it slips sideways in my mind and seeks to cry, bellow its drought, its bereft, and morning calls for pause, for surcease, for the advent of rain. Sometimes I just want hydrogen, its unique mix with oxygen, to breathe, to drink my sorrows down. I yearn to imbibe the air, find fool's seat amid the falling drops as they coalesce to creeks, then drench my desiccating skin, my hair, this body singed dry by despair. Eyes emptied of tears. The lake, that purling plash of waves on sandy shore, still beckons. Thank you. So, I'm going to find my second poem here. This also goes back to Michigan. And as do our memories. Let's see what I wrote in the corner here. Oh, it's entitled Love in the Afternoon. After Robert Frost, nothing gold can stay. Today, the sun slid back behind the frost, behind the darkening sallow roofs, and lost us to the errant eddies of late fall, her vermilion leaves swirling brown swirling into a burnished gyre along an all too cold street of black, whose slick gray sidewalks slip smooth beneath the restive remnants of a month called fun, called Indian summer, called love in the afternoon. Today, the wind woke us from our trance of spirit, of joy, perched atop the lady slippers, doting next to the daisies whose white sheaths petaled their sunnies. As the breeze turned northerly, then mean, forever reminding us that dawn will ever go down today, and nothing gold, nothing good will stay. Thank you. Oh, this is a favorite of most people who read the book, so you guys get it too. So I grew up in Boston, and one of the big stores in downtown Boston was Filene's. It was a big, big department store, if anybody's heard of Filene's. And Filene's basement was a wonder in and of itself. If anybody's gone to Filene's basement, we'd get almost anything at low rock bottom prices. So this is about Filene's basement. Yvonne Postel too writes about Filene's basement. It's temptation, the aisles and rows of clothes just to be sampled, mussed up, ruffled around, put back, or not. But little does she know that Filene's was the very spot where I learned to shop, all on my own, without a mother saying yes and no, don't touch that, that bikini, that bra, that sexy lingerie, so curiously tempting to the touch, to the thought, to the thoughts that wind a story in your mind as you finger the lacy underthings, those undies that are scant and there, but almost not. The filigreed stockings, black with designs of stars and lines that might climb a young girl's leg to seduce a gaze from a stranger, handsome, lithe and svelte across the racks. Those days by myself were the true adventure, following, as they did, the time with my mother's friend, Rose, who led me on a buyer's trek when my mom was gone, perhaps just indisposed. That very same friend about whom my mother had remarked needed to wear a girdle because of her oversized rump, too big without one, too much of a while. Yet it was Rose who sashayed the aisles. Wrestled through the rumpled items, the seductive bargains, taught me how to really shop, explore such curious things, such depths of yearning, with offerings alive and sensuous, each and all ensconced in a singular, enticing basement. Thank you all. Go shopping in Filene's sometime. It's really fun. Okay, so this is the last poem in this book, but there's plenty more if you decide to buy one of the books. So this poem is entitled Holding On. Let me get all my paper clips and whatnots and doodads out of the way here. Holding On. Holding on. Rise, dawn. Glow your gold to light. Forget the slide of your late and sure to sink again, slipping sun. Rise. Let your sight catch the pampas grass blowing wild in restless wind. Tell us of your eyes, how they catch the crimson, marcescent leaves of fall, curled, crinkling, spinning wild. Trumpet now your vision, those desperate, delirious twists of oak as they cling to branch, to twig, before the harshest cold that freeze sends in. And tell us all, so that years from now you'll see them twirling still, those shriveling leaves of massive oaks as they hold on fast, awaiting snow, awaiting spring. Rise, and through the cold, this brighter frost, we'll remember those spinning crimson curls, their home. Thank you. Okay, yep. So I either have two or three poems here. Maybe I'll need to read. So, as I said, when COVID started, I just started writing about living with COVID. And first they were weekly, and then I kind of scratched this one out and scratched that one out. And I didn't quite keep them in order, but the title is Shards of Shadows, a COVID Diary. And it was true to experience, even though it was not true to the truth. COVID-19, week four, a dream. I need to call my mother in Manhattan, visit her apartment on 85th and 3rd. I see the buildings and rivers that surround those busy avenues, north and south, congested skinny streets, east and west. It's a simple matter of going east, then cross the street, pass a bank, and take the elevator up. You'll arrive at full, wholesome family love, the best, the easy answers on how to live. I want to ask my mother how to navigate this deadly obstacle I can't even see. Yet when I telephone, I get her answering machine. The person whom you're trying to call is disconnected, perhaps now living below the ground, or up in heaven, if you can imagine her there, cavorting with all the other dead. No, I scream, you need to hear. I'm desperate for instructions, a direction to go. It's urgent, I repeat. I need to know how to retreat, hide from life, my neighbors, never read the map of their faces, or share with them my smile. Thank you. And hold on one second. So this is the one I'm sneaking in because I really wanted to read it anyway. A ghazal of ghosts. Avram, where are you? I listen for your voice. It's velvet. It's rich sound not to be found. It is lost, not in the bed, the bath, or kitchen. Nowhere, even its shadow can't be found. What's wrong with you, my dear? Oh, my sweet wife, you don't realize I'm gone. Left yesterday with the 3,000 that COVID took. No chance of being found. I look for you in every room, can't feel your hug, your touch, or catch your smile, or caress your face. I search for your calming scent, a single trace nowhere to be found. We tried to save him. There were five of us at his bedside, and yet no breath. His body with IVs in his arms, a tube in its throat, but still no heartbeat could be found. Oh, why, God, did you take him? Where has he gone? I still hear his jokes, his laughter, but just as they reach my ear, they crumble to shards, his voice gone, never to be found. Don't you recall I left in the casket yesterday, as you wept, left with 3,124 others to join our brothers, our sisters. Think of that, the full number of souls never found. Close to 300,000 now. That's a city the size of Pittsburgh or Madison. What happened to all of you, to Shula, to young Judy, all now gone, yearning to be found? Thank you. And then this is the last one, and the last one in the book. Shards of Shadows, a COVID diary. Yeah, I'm making a nice mess here. COVID drags on into 2021. The virus, our sequester, our retreat. As we hide inside our homes, inside our masks, cocoon into ourselves, into our slow, foreboding life that harbors too many deaths one day, then the next, even more beyond. And yet each morning brings new silent, new bright fingers of sunrise to chase all masked purple shadows, the gilded light basking our lives with joys of birth, a buzz, opening to change, to surprise, its fruit, its glow, its love. Thank you all. Thank you for the invitation to all of you.